بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الحديث حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Firstly, I'm not the best amongst of the brothers to deliver this lecture, but possibly because of the only thing that I can vouch for is probably many years of marriage, that I can discuss this topic about searching for a spouse or ways of getting married. And we find that al-Islam, from maqasid al-Sharia, from the purpose of the sending of the Islamic legislation, came to preserve five things. Came to preserve one's nafs, one's aql, one's nasl, wal-ird, wal-mal. Islam came to preserve your soul, your intellect, your lineage, your honor, and your property. This is the whole purpose. If you study Islam, that everywhere you look, you find that the legislations are there to preserve your mind, your soul, your body, your property, your wealth, and your lineage. And we find that marriage is one of those contracts that if you don't understand marriage, you will destroy all of this. Because as they state, love blinds. And in the state of your blindness, you will destroy your wealth, destroy your lineage, destroy even your own self. The amount of people who have committed suicide for the sake of a woman or the sake of a man. Destroy your property. Take on any lineage. Whatever comes to you, you're just willing to give up the whole of your life, your family, for the sake of this person. So that's why marriage is one of those important contracts that we really need to begin to understand, all of us. Those who have been married for maybe one year, even up to 10 years or even 20 years. Life is an ongoing learning process. That is the way insan is. Throughout his life, he is continuously learning. The misconceptions that he holds in his heart, in his mind, the problems that he faces, how to bring himself out of the problems that he may even bring upon himself. And we find that marriage, really the title of this topic should be marriage or mirage. That's the real essence. Because many people are going to two extremes. One extreme is that marriage, even amongst those people under the disguise of al-Islam, is to go and perform this honeymoon, to go out on these exotic holidays, all under the Islamic holidays. And dunya has hit them from every single angle. That pleasure of this dunya, seeking of this dunya, luxuries of this dunya, is all that some people are seeking even under the disguise of al-Islam. That's why many people are complaining that they can't get married, because the demands are so many. I need this and I need that. And likewise, the men need this and they need that. And then we find the other extreme, that people are living in a bubble world. They think that my wife is not like Khadija radiallahu anha, and you're not like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They think that everybody should be like the companions. Just because you wear a niqab, or you wear a thawb, that you must be amongst ahsanul khalq, the best of creation, the best of people. And this is another misconception, because truly those people who deal with the divorce rates amongst the practicing people is forever increasing. Not just amongst those people who are not practicing, but people who are practicing as well. Why is it? Why is it that there is no harmony in our society in marriage amongst the common people and amongst those people who are calling to al-Islam? And we find that this mirage, because if you study the meaning of what is a mirage, it's a disillusion or a misconception that you see in a state of a desert, that you come up to this place, an oasis, that you feel is some water to drink. But when you get close, it's only the mesmerization of your mind, the thinking of your mind, something that you've been thinking about. And likewise, you find marriage. That when you see somebody from a distance, and you think that looks like a beautiful object, and you begin to get closer and closer, until eventually you find that you've been struck by something which is not a humble person, which is not a soft, loving husband. It is a tyrannical, oppressive person. Is there any contradiction in the verses of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly mentioned, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. He is the one amongst his signs that he has created for you wives from amongst yourselves, that you may find tranquility in them. And he has put between you yani rahma and mawadda, affection and mercy. Verily, in that are indeed signs for a people who reflect. Could there be a contradiction in this verse? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly stating, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that you may live with her. And another place inside the Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. He is the one who has created you from a single person, Adam alayhi salam, and then he has created from his wife Hawa, in order that he may enjoy the pleasure of living with her. Now here in the Arabic language we find that even though the pronoun is referring to the female, it carries the meaning of a male as well. That just like you have pleasure with living with her, she should be enjoying pleasure with living with you. So whenever we mention, refer to the male pronoun, we are referring to the female as well. So nobody should think that we are always quoting the male species. It includes the female as well. So the male, لِيَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that he may enjoy her, take pleasure from her, whether it be the sexual pleasures, or whether it be the pleasures of just having comforting in talking and speaking to her. And that's why we find the Prophet Muhammad stating, when he would say to Aisha radiallahu anha, كَلِّمِينِ كَلِّمِينِ, speak to me, speak to me. And you find that this is a form of affection, to listen to one's spouse and listen to what they have to say. So we find that this is the essence of a zawaj, or of marriage. However, we find that the beginning of marriage should be from the essence or the ruling of what is marriage. Because we find that once again people are going to two different extremes. Amongst mankind we find those people who turn to sodomy, turn to homosexuality. And even amongst the Muslims we find that people have established homosexual Muslim societies, saying that this is a way of life. And this is a true fact, that these societies exist. And we find that this is an abominable sin. This is a sin that the people of Lut began, who used to carry out this evil sin. This is one extreme of people that we find in behaving in such a manner. Whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly stated inside the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى, that we have created your mankind from a male and a female. This is the essence of mankind, according to the Quran. Likewise at the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, that fear your Lord, and we have created you from Adam and from Hawa, and then from them both spread many mankind and much of creation of the human being. And we find that these people, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ, that these people are like cattle, or more astray than cattle, who follow the shahawat, follow the desires, to behave in such a manner. And then we find another form of misconception is arrahbaniya, monasticism, to become a monk. And we find that these people, that they began to have dreams themselves, that the monks will be tempted at night by a female demon called Sukubi, and the nuns will be seduced at night by a female demon called Inkubi. This is what they write in their works. Because the essence of man is to be with a woman, and a woman to be with a man. But if you lock your desires away, if you lock them away, then obviously you will have these hallucinations and begin to think that demons are attacking you. Male demons or female demons. And then we find that the devil uses to gain possession of our souls. That's what these people, they write, these ruhban, these monks. And they began to state, and even amongst the Sufiya, the Islamic mysticists or the mystical people, even though it should be adhering to the Quran and the Sunnah, that they began to write sex is evil only for procreation and despise for pleasure. That the only time you can go to your spouse is to have a child. Apart from that, you should not enter upon your wife. And this has become common in the Muslim society, that people even growing up in this country, that they may be married, but they only enter upon their spouses to have a child. And then they have their mistresses to do whatever they want to do, because they don't seem to understand the concept of marriage. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated it clearly inside the Quran, that they are your spouses, and come to them any which way you like. فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّمَا شِئْتُمْ. Come to your wife whichever way you want, إِلَّا الدُّبُرْ, except for from the behind. This is the Quran. So when people shy away from topics and say, look, that you know, Islam doesn't talk about these topics, this is incorrect. The Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah is clearly stating about the role of how you enter upon your spouses, that they are a till, they are a fertile land for you. Enter the land whichever way you want. And that's why you find even amongst the companions asking in detail questions about how to enter upon their spouses, how to behave. And that's why we find that there's only one man, the Prophet Muhammad, that his internal affairs have been exposed to the whole of humanity. Li'ibra, for a lesson and an understanding, and for us to take heed from that. If you read from many of these ahadith, that he fondled with his wives, he kissed his wives, he held his wives, he played with his wives, to show what? Does that take anything away from his manhood? No. It shows us the lessons of how a man should behave towards his wife, the way that he or she should conduct herself, even to the extent that they would bathe with one another. And even though some ulama have gone into discussion about this, but just to highlight the issue of the way of the relationship between the husband and the wife. And we find that this essence of being in pairs is clearly been mentioned inside the Quran. وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Everything has been created in pairs, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, that you may take heed from this. Likewise in Surah Yasin, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا. Glorified be Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created everything in pairs. مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ, what comes out of the earth. وَمِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, and from amongst your own selves, and from that which you don't know. So this zawjiyah of everything being inside pairs is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how we find that inside many ahadith, يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ مَنْ اسْتَطَعَ مِنْكُمْ الْبَاءَةَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. Whoever amongst you, O young men, has the ability to get married, then they should get married. Whoever has the ability and the capacity, they should get married. Likewise, we find in the hadith, مَا رَوَاهُ Imam Bukhari, talking about the three men who said that they're going to give up everything. They're going to pray every single night, one of them, and not break his prayer. The other one is going to fast every single day. And the third one said, I'm going to remain away from women. And then when he returned, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, are you the ones who said such and such? Verily, I pray and I break my prayer. I fast and I break my fast. And I indulge and I enter upon women. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah has got nothing to do with me. Once again, they're highlighting the fact that there is no monasticism in Al-Islam. There is no behavior of this to remain away from women. This is a natural creation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فِطْرَةُ اللَّهِ فَطْرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. This is the condition which Allah has placed inside a human being, that they have this raghba, they have this zeal, they have this desire to be entering upon the opposite spouse. And that's why we find that the way, the methodology of the Prophet, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. This is from the way of the Prophet, that we have sent messengers before you, and all of them married, and all of them had a genealogy, all of them had a lineage. And even Isa ibn Maryam alayhim as-salam, that he will return and he will get married once again to fulfill the sunnah of all of the Prophets. And we find that the importance of marriage, مَا رَوَاهُ Imam Bayhaqi, that whoever marries, when a servant of Allah marries, he has completed half of his religious obligations. And for the other half, he should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only those people who are married can understand this hadith. You may feel that you are fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but your iman is only half complete. It is only until you complete the contract of marriage that you begin to develop full control over yourself, over your lusts and your desires and your glances and your speech and everything. And the whole of your heart is concentrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the sunnah that He has laid down inside Bashar, inside the human being. And we find that this inclination has been mentioned inside the Quran as well. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ. That this craving and this desire has been placed inside human beings. And what are those craving things? النِّسَاء وَالْبَنِينَ. The love of women and the love of children. And that's why we find in the hadith, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَدُودُ الْوَلُودُ, marry the loving and the fertile. For verily I will compete with the rest of the prophets on the day of judgment about the numerous amount of followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أو كما قال sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so we find that this is the creation of al-insan. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does he not know what he has created? وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. And he is the most subtle and the aware. He has created insan in this form. He knows what his needs are. He knows what her needs are. Clearly been stated that these are the needs of a man and a need of a woman. However, we find that if we don't begin to address this topic, that the same woman or the concept of marriage tends to become a fitna. مَا تَرَبْتُ بَعْدِ فِتْنَةً أَدَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. The most greatest fitna upon human being, upon mankind, is fitna to nisa, is the fitna of women. Likewise, find another hadith that the great fitna that hit Bani Israel, كانت في النساء, used to be in women. فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءِ. Fear this dunya and fear women. Now these are the things that will take you, with all credit to women, these are the things that will take you away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how many human beings, or how many amongst the men, or amongst mankind, have given up their deen for the sake of a woman? Given up their ibadah, wassalah, and everything that they used to do for the sake of a woman. Given it all up. Sacrificed the whole of their life just for a single woman. And we find that the Prophet Muhammad himself stated, حُبِّبَ عِلَيَّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا الطِّيبُ وَالنِّسَاءُ وَجُعِلَتْ كُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. مَا رَوَاهُ إِمَامْ دَاوُودِ. That the best things amongst this dunya which have been made pleasing to me, الطِّيبُ وَالنِّسَاءُ, beautiful smell and women, and the tenderness and the coolness of my eyes has been placed inside as-salah. This is sallallahu alayhi wasallam highlighting this point, that this is the essence and the love that every single human being holds inside their heart. And if we go towards the haram methodology, that if you take a husband and a wife inside one room, inside a hotel for example, and you take another man and a woman in another room in the same hotel, both side to side, one of them is indulging in halal and the other is in haram, what is the difference? The difference is aqdun nikah, the contract of marriage. That is what separates these two people. That's what separates al-ajr, separates al-reward, and separates al-ithm. Because we find, وَفِي بُدْءِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. And to place yourself properly into your spouse, sadaqa, is a charity. The companions ask, how could it be a charity? How is it that this animalistic behavior, if it is deemed right, that even animals behave like this, could be a sadaqa? If you placed it in haram, it's been a sin upon you. And if you placed it in halal, it's a reward for you. So clearly, even this affair of to behave in this manner, there is sadaqah written down for you. Charity has been written down for you for behaving in this manner. And we find that these people who commit this abominable action, and many of the ulama have written that one of the most evil sins after al-ishraku billahi azza wa jal, after committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is az-zina, is to commit az-zina, to commit illicit sexual behavior. To behave in this manner is one of the sins that destroys you in this dunya and destroys you in the akhirah as well. And clearly, the disease of AIDS, which is spreading amongst this community, amongst the whole of this community, upon the whole of this earth, is clearly a sign upon their lewdness, their fahsha, their evil and immoral behavior, that a sin has been thrown upon these people. And we find that these few minutes of pleasure, as one Arab scholar, he mentioned in one of his lectures, that is, an Arab person traveled abroad to the great United States of America, and when he entered into this hotel, that a woman was looking at him. And perchance, we know that most people who have not been exposed to this type of society, he was interested in her. So he called her over, offered her a drink, began to converse with her, and then he went upstairs and did whatever he had to do. When he woke up in the morning, and he said, Aina Habibi, Aina Habibi, where's my loved one, where's my loved one? He looked around, and she had gone. He walked around the room, went into the bathroom, And there he saw with red lipstick written on the mirror, "Welcome to the world of AIDS. Welcome to the world of AIDS. Just for your sexual desires and pleasures, I'm going to hell anyway. I'm going there. I'm going to die. I'm destroyed." And that's what these people believe in. We are destroyed. We are animals in our approach, in our life. Let us destroy these pure people. Let us entice these people. The latest study of Mossad, of sending their spies into this country, is what? Women who have been trained to sleep with Muslims. Trained that they are willing to sleep with people to gain information from them. This is what their intelligence breeds them to do. And they talk about dignity. They want to teach us how to look after our women when they're training to their women to behave in such a manner, and they feel no shame. So here we find the danger of what these people are trying to display in front of us. And we find that the punishment is clearly visible inside the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. It is, if the word is acceptable, a dog's death, to be stoned to death. انظر إلى هذا رجم مثل الكلب. Look at this one who's been stoned to death like a dog. This is the punishment of the person who commits a zina, to be stoned. Because we live in such a Western society like this, and even amongst the Muslim lands, that this type of behavior becomes normal. It becomes a normal practice to be indulging in such an affair. It's not seen as a big taboo. And when people do talk about this, what do they state? The verses of the Quran. أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوتٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. Get rid of the people of Lut. There are people who want to be purified. So when people call to the da'wah of purity, they say, get rid of these people. Even in the Arab lands, get rid of these people who call towards unity, who call towards purification, who call towards marriage, who call towards to avoid these sexual conduct and this behavior, the removal of prostitution in the Muslim land, the removal of drugs, and the removal of alcohol and liquor. To remove this, they say, no, remove those people. Remove them, not them. We want to enjoy this. These are the good things of this dunya. الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعُهَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ. The whole of this dunya is a provision. And the best provision is مَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ, is a good wife. That is the best thing that you can take in this dunya to be with you. A woman who would aid you in your deen, aid you in your dunya, aid you in every single thing that you do in your life. And that's why you find that many of the ulama that they wrote, and many of these people themselves, they write, behind every great man is a great woman. And let no one be mistaken by that statement. Even amongst the Anbiya, alayhimus salam, behind them was great women. Especially if you look at Musa alayhi salam, then you find his mother, you find his sister, you find his wife, and you find the wife of your own. Four women behind him, forever encouraging him on, giving him advice and telling him what to do and to behave in a correct manner and to remain steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we find that his contract, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned inside Surah An-Nisa, mithaqan ghaliza, a strong covenant. There is many covenants that we carry out in our life. The contracts of work, the contracts of construction, the contracts of even business become relaxed if you know the other person. But this contract is mithaqan ghaliza. It's the strongest covenant that you will ever take in your life. It is not like buying a pair of shoes, you take them back to Next and you change them. You go back to JD Sports and say, I don't like them. That's not what marriage is. Alf marra, 1,000 times you should think about what you're doing. Even more than 1,000 times. To think about it. That are you mentally capable? Are you physically capable? Have you got the wealth to do what you're doing? Are you following your emotions and your desires? Are you just looking at the looks? What are you going for? What is your intention? What do you aim to achieve? What do you want to do? This is the basis and the essence. And that's what we find in Hukm al-Ziwaj, in the rulings of marriage, that at times it becomes fard for you to get married. When does it become an obligation for you to get married? Possibly living in a country like this, that if you fear that you will fall into sin, and you know for a fact that you will commit zina, then it is an obligation for you to get married, and to seek the means to get married. And likewise, the opposite has been written, When is it haram for you to get married? If you know you're going to be an oppressive person, you're going to kill her or harm her or torture her, then it becomes forbidden for you. Or you don't have the ability to, any doctors have proven you don't have the ability to indulge in this type of behavior or relationship. And then when does it become just permissible? Even though the sunnah is to get married, but sometimes it can be delayed. That if a person is indulged in studies or transactions or traveling, and for some specific purpose it's delayed. But however, we find living in this country whereby this nudity is forever on the increase. The billboards, the media, the satellite, the newspapers, everything is based upon women. This ghariza an-nafsiya, this feeling that a man has, this tension has to be released. So the only way is through az-zawaj. That seminars like this have to be open, to set up organizations and people to make these transactions or facilitating it for people to get married. That we are taught the way that we need to behave. Our parents are taught about the problems that we are facing and what steps need to be taken. And a masjid should be open as a community to deal and to rectify the problems that we face. And that's why we find that a woman, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعَةٍ, a woman is married for four things. لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَجِمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا. A woman is married for one of four reasons: her beauty, her wealth, her genealogy, or her faith. فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. Choose a woman with deen, and may your hands be prosperous. An Arab proverb, that may you be successful. That her beauty will go, her wealth can go, her lineage can go, her family name can go. As for her deen, will remain with her. That doesn't mean you don't seek the other three things. But if they are there with her deen, then this is something, nurun ala nur, light upon light. They are important, but the main thing is ad-deen, to seek ad-deen. Because this will rectify your children and rectify the rest of the ummah. And this hadith is ma rawahu Imam Bukhari wa Muslim. And that's how we find many people want to look at other things in society. Live a loose life and then want to find a virgin woman. Many people hold this conception in their life. Do whatever you want to do, but no, she has to be like that. She has to be untouched by any man. This is a concept that many people hold. Not to say that this is incorrect. This is allowed as well. But this misconception needs to be removed from human beings. That they do whatever they want to do, and then at the end, my wife has to be totally untouched. Or the opposite. And we find, that's why the Arab he wrote, فَمَا الْحُبُّ إِلَّا لِلْحَبِيبِ الْأَوَّلِ. So what is love except for the first one? Love is only except for the first one. And that's why we find Aisha radiallahu anha was always boasting about this to the rest of the wives. That where would you place your camel or your riding beast? Would you place it on a land which has been untouched? Or would you place it in a land where it's been touched by other animals? And the Prophet Muhammad said, I would take my beast or the riding camel to the place where it's been untouched. And she was trying to highlight that I am the one who is untouched. And she would boast about this, that she was the only one who was in this state and in this nature. And that's why we find that fulfilling of the marital responsibilities, that no one can do justice to this. Kulluna qasirin. All of us fall short of this. So the only example to look at this, because the best person to ask about the way that you behave is to ask your wife. And she will forever say, there is no khair in you. There is no good in you. And everyone can say everything good underneath the sun about you, but as far as she is concerned, she'll say there's no good in you at all. That's the best person to ask about any individual. But we don't want to ask them. So we want to look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he said, فَاسْتَوْسُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. Be good to women. And he is the one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. The best of you is the best one to his family. And I am the best one to his family. And there is no doubt about that. That he is the best one to his family. And his wives testified to that. His companions testified to that. And before all of that, Rabbul Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified to that. That he is, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That you are upon a manifest character. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That in your conduct and your behavior is something for the whole of mankind to emulate and to copy. That is only salawatu wa salamu alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we find that the women have rights. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And women have rights corresponding to the obligations on them, according to that which is equitable or that which is fair. But unfortunately, we find many people only have one verse on their mind. First verse is وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, to live with them honorably, is the first verse trying to be respectful to women. And the second verse is, and they have obligations upon them. It's two ayat showing obligations towards the women, to be good to them. And we know that Islam gave the rights of the women many centuries before the women rights or the suffragettes, when these women came and they gave the rights of the women. And the Quran clearly states about the jahiliyyah, the ignorance of the people. بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, from what sin was this woman killed? And then Islam came and gave the woman the right to be free, to earn her own wealth, to earn her own business, the right to to claim her own right to marriage. So we don't need to listen to these people about the rights that they are giving to women. It's all been laid down inside the Quran. Surah An-Nisa, Surah Al-Tahrim, Surah Al-Mujadila, Surah Al-Talaq, Surah Al-Mumtahina, Surah Maryam. All of these surahs inside the Quran. All of these ayat showing the role of women in society in the way that we need to behave towards them. Don't talk to me about your rights, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Quran, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna ala Nisa. Men are stronger than women. If you read the word, what does Qawwam mean? It means one who stands with one's obligations and duties. One who does not fulfill the rights of the house is not considered as a rijal, or as a rajul, as a man. So when you are told to tidy up, to look after the house and say, look, I'm a man, I can't do this. If the brothers find out about this, they're not going to call me a man. They will call me a pussycat. I'm not a man. But look at the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا دَخْلَ فِي الْبَيْتِ كَانَ يَشْكُلْ بِشُعُونِ الْبَيْتِ. If he entered the house, was busy with the affairs of the house. And if he left when the Adhan came, he left for the affairs of Al-Islam. This is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why many of the ulama, they write, do whatever you have to do outside the house. But once you enter into the house, don't talk about your work, your deadlines, your assignments, anything, khalas. Lock it all and throw the key outside the window. And get on with the rights inside the house. And then when you leave again, then carry on with what you have to do. This is the just balanced way. وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, that we made you the middle nation. Not forever, you find some brothers, especially in this IT industry, laptop at work, laptop at home, laptop in bed, laptop maybe even in the toilet. The whole of the work, I'm designing a new website or I'm doing something special. And then the rights of the women are just taken away. And then even then when they're doing something, I'm searching for a nice holiday resort for you anyway. Trying to use that as an excuse. No time for their family. And that's what we find, that some people have even written that women's manuals and women's digests are on the increase. That people will sit, these women will sit and read. Why do you think these boom books talking about fantasy about women, that forever hundreds of titles, people, women are buying them, reading them, and living in this fantasy world about these dream men? Or the man, what I remember when I was young, the man dressed in black who would give, what is the chocolate called, black magic, who would come through the window and then fly out the window again. That's what these women are waiting for. So we find, بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْدَهُمَ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Because this is the criteria which Allah has given them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the preference over the women. وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, because of what they spend from their wealth. That is why you are a qawwamun, or you are better than a woman. Because you take a care of the affairs, and you spend upon the household, and she is not obliged to do that. And so we find that a person should learn when to speak and when to behave towards the female species. Because we find that sometimes the words that you use and you state could be misunderstood. For example, you find the famous hadith when Ibrahim alayhi salam came to meet Ismail. And then when he entered, if you recall the hadith, and his first wife said that, how are you, how are your affairs? And she complained about her affairs. And he said to her, tell him when he comes home to change the gate, change threshold of your house. So Ismail had this feeling when he came home that who came today? He said, this old man came today and he asked about you, and then he said, change the gate of your house. He said, that was my father and he told me to divorce you. Then he got married again, and then Ibrahim once again came, and once again he wasn't at home. And he came and asked her, how are you? And she said that we're fine, alhamdulillah. Our situation is good, we don't have any problems. Because the first wife was complaining. And he said, give a message to Ismail when he comes home, that tell him that to keep your gate, keep the threshold of your house. And when he came back, he asked once again, he had this feeling that someone came to visit him. And he said that she said that was a man came, and he said to keep your gate. And he said, that was my father, and he told me that, that he is pleased with you. So the wife would say, what are you trying to state by this hadith, by telling me this hadith? What are you trying to state? Because this is the nature of the woman. You're trying to state that I'm no good, and you want to get rid of me. So a person should be very, very careful in even the ahadith that they use, that they quote to people, that it could be taken and misunderstood. Because we find that a woman has been created from the rib of Adam, the curved rib. And if you try to straighten it, it will snap, it will break. So leave the woman on her nature. Leave her upon her emotions and the way that she does certain things. If she irons your clothes in a certain way, don't say iron it like that, please. You may get the iron in your face. So when you don't see the brothers for a few days and you find a scar on his face, you know why. Or his clothes are burnt. Take this. Leave it the way it is. Learn to have sober, have patience, and to accept it. Because we find the opposite as well. That we find in the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, that if you've done everything for them, بِكُفْرِهِنَّ, because of their kufr. And he stated that, why is it the majority of the women, the inhabitants of the hellfire will be women? بِكُفْرِهِنَّ, is it because of their disbelief? No, it's because of their ingratitude, of their negligence of their spouses. And we find this in this hadith, clearly, لَوْ أَحْسَنْتَ إِلَىٰ إِحْدَهِنَّ, if you've done good to one of them, الدَّهَر, and he threw out your life, all the time trying to be doing your best to serve her and to be good to her. ثُمَّ رَعَدْ مِنْكَ شَيْئًا, one small slip from you in your life. Didn't pick up on time, didn't drop on time, didn't do what she told you to do. One small slip. قَالَتْ مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْكَ خَيْرًا قَطْ, never ever have I seen anything good in you through my whole life being married to you. Never ever. مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْكَ خَيْرًا قَطْ أَبَدًا, I don't know why I married you. There's nothing good in you. Tell you to do one thing, you don't do it. The whole week could have been spent doing something good, but I've never seen nothing good in you. Just a waste of time, waste of my life. بِكُفْرِهِنَّ, because of the ingratitude. They should pay heed upon these ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad, with all respect to them. That you don't want to be amongst the inhabitants of the hellfire. And whichever husband is pleased with his spouse, she can enter through any doors of paradise that she wants. You have opened the doors of paradise for yourself. And then we find also, now likewise inside there, bearing the following verse. فَإِنْ كَرِحْتُمُهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. If you take a dislike to them, it may be that you dislike a thing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a great deal of good in this good, or something evil, or this bad point, it brings about something good inside there. So we find that هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ, that you are a garment for them and they are a garment for you. That they find tranquility, serenity through you, and you find serenity through them, through your spouses. And we find that this marriage is not a bed of roses as many people want to claim. That there will be ups and downs. But the marriage relationship is one which grows through understanding one another. The good things and the bad things, the things that you like and you dislike. And we find that, unfortunately, that the modern forms of marriage that we find, we touched upon, are we ready for marriage, and he's talking about the points, what to look for, and some of the rights. And we find that these modern forms of searching for marriage through the use of internet, whereby pictures are sent to one another, and sometimes these pictures are exposing more than what should be exposed, and words are discussions are made over the internet in this disguise of chat room. The discussions are made through these chat rooms, and this is a form of khalwa. This is a form of being alone. Just because the essence in the hadith is that any man who's alone with a woman, then a third one is shaitan. The person should avoid being alone with a woman. This also comes underneath the same ruling, because now you are talking to a woman, even though you're not visualizing her, but you are having discussion with her, and could ask a certain question which are personal, and she could ask you certain questions that are personal. And likewise, those people who are good in their writing, and many of these novelists that you write, they're not very good looking or have any good character, but they're able to mesmerize you through their words. So when you're writing to the opposite person, you could be stating things which are not true, going beyond the bounds. And likewise, they could be stating things about themselves which are not true, that I look like this, I have this, and I do this, and I do that. So this is a misconception, to use these chat rooms to discuss with people. People should avoid this. The use of the internet to find a spouse. I found my wife on the internet. Allah al-Azim. Shame on you. There's no manhood within you. The woman mesmerized you with a few words, or you mesmerize the woman, and that's it. That's the woman for me. Where did you find her? Found on the internet. Good luck to you is what I say. There's a lot more to marriage than just finding a woman on the internet and a few words. Looking at the family. Because many people avoid this. I want to break the barriers. I want to break this cultural Islam. It's not haram to get married from your family. Yes, there are certain evidence that you get married from your intimate cousins, and it will create some form of deficiency in your lineage and your family and diseases. But at the same time, you need to be just and fair that it's also good to keep family ties and to get married in your family. Because unfortunately, many of our families are in a state of jahiliyyah. In Idris, if you get married from outside the family, you got married from outside the family, great shame. You got married to, excuse my words here, but you got married to a Gora. You got married to a white man, you got married to a black man. This exists in our families. We shouldn't shy away and say it doesn't exist. It does exist. Just because you're practicing, your family's not practicing. We hear it all the time. Or we want to break the barriers. And you need to understand the nature of other people and the society and their people as well. They don't respect black women, they write themselves. You can't live with a black man. So I feel sorry for the Asian sisters who get married to a person from this type, from this area. That your women, they're very soft and humble. They've been looked after in a good manner. So when they get married, they're treated slightly rough. They begin to cry and weep, and it's divorced straight away. We're not saying we shouldn't do this, we should do it, but we should balance and think about what we're doing in the way that we're entering into our relationship and the marriage that we're doing. Even though there should be some exceptions to the rules, they show that we do get married from outside of the family and from other people and other cultures. But this trend has gone so much that because divorce is forever increasing, sister with three children getting married for a third time, brother married four times, five times, six children here, what are you creating in society? Failure in society. Failure in society, that is what you are creating. Who is looking after your children? The social services are looking after your children. That's who's looking after your children. Under this disguise of even polygamy, people are signing on, I want to get married two or three times, and say this is sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go and fend for yourself, and then think about getting married again. Not say I'm reviving this sunnah, and then take money from the state, beg from these people and say this is sunnah. It is fard for you to earn your living. It is fard for you to earn your living and earn for your own self. It is not fard to get married twice or three times. Misunderstanding of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in these same brothers we find, after going through 200 meetings, 300 interviews, maybe 1,000 CVs being sent all over the world, the first time he gets to sit with a sister, my first condition is I'm getting married again. Be realistic. Just because a few people have done it and that's it, this becomes the sunnah that you need to do. I'm following the sunnah. I'm following the sunnah, I have to do it. Even more living in this country to show the people that I'm a person upon the sunnah. And we find that this deceiving information,
which is being put through these people, and we find this new form of innovation that we find, is meeting in hotels. That people will come there searching for a spouse, and you're given a ticket number like an animal. This is what one sister wrote an article about this, that she went to one of these functions in these nice flash hotels in the city to find a spouse. You're given a number, and you sit down, and the brothers parade past you. They look at your number, and they go back and say, number 26, please. Could we talk to her? Where is your dignity, sisters? She writes herself, I felt so low. Men walking up to me, looking at me, then just looking at my number, like I'm some form of animal being taken around for sale. Is this the way that you have interaction? And then to sit on one table and wishy-washy discussions, getting to know one another. Your discussion is with the mahram. That the person inside the house, the father, the elder brother, who has to understand the uncle, you sit there and you talk to the woman. The ulama have written that you can see her hands, her face, even her hair, and some even go to the opinion that she can show her shin, show her legs. That in general is to show her hands, her face, her hair, she can show it to the man that she's getting married to show the development of love. And that's why according to the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, did you look at the woman? Did you go and see her? And he said, no, he said, go and look at her, because it will create love and affection between you both. This is the middle stance of the sunnah, the correct understanding. And like we find in the Afghan culture, if you ask to look at the woman, and even exist in this country, those people who come from that tribe, they'll say, I'll kill you if you look at my daughter. So what am I supposed to look at then? I want to get married. I'm not trying to insult you. But it exists in their culture. That's one extreme. And then we find the other extreme. That a woman will come all dressed up, everything, perfume and makeup, and come in front of you and serve you, and everything that, you know, you're about to get married and you need to look at her. This is the other extreme. The balance extreme is that the mahram is there, a guardian is placed there, of authority and understanding, and discussion is made in front of him. And however meetings are needed to finalize it, and that is sufficient. That is the sunnah. That is the leniency that we find. As for what we find is trying to divert the wali, the guardian, to take him out of the picture. He doesn't really know. Many sisters come and say, my father doesn't really know. I'll tell you one fact, that a man who's reached the age of 40 or 45, he's got a lot more experience than you have, a young girl on the street. And he knows the nature of man. Knows the nature of man. Believe me that when you reach that age, and anyone comes to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage, you can in a few words, well, billahi tawfiq, upon that age, assess that person. Don't be so naive and think that the guardian doesn't understand anything. Even if it is a person who's not very Islamic, they have that much understanding of life to judge a person. To judge a person and say that this person is either fit or not fit. The only time the role of the guardian is taken away is when the person is immoral. The man is totally immoral. Your father is totally immoral. Does not adhere to any of the teaching of Islam. Commits clear fisk and fujur, disobedience, that he can be taken away and then somebody else. And even then it is a person of authority from amongst his family, and if not then from amongst the a'imma of the masajid, and then if then the sultan. And the sultan is the wali, liman la waliya lahu, laha. And the sultan is the wali of the one who does not have the wali. So we need to continue through the steps and the channels and stop diverting it, bringing any form of guardian, bringing any witnesses. My aunt is a witness to my marriage. Who said your aunt is a witness? It is two men that should be a witness to the marriage. And that's why we find that marriage is that you have to a'linu an-nikah, to announce it. And people have written, ulama have written, that even if the nikah has been done, the contract has been done, you should not consummate the marriage. You should not enter upon your wife until you have announced it. Because people may accuse you of having illicit behavior, because people don't know that you've been married. So you should announce the walima. You should have a great big celebration according to the hadood al-sharia. You should have this, so people know that you are married. Not that one day people see you walking down the street, oh, I saw you walking down the street with a sister. Because this is the way of shaitan. He flows in the blood of human beings. When the Prophet was with his wife Safiya radiallahu anha, and he's walking with her out of the masjid when he was in a state of i'tikaf. And some companions, they saw them and they started to say, Subhanallah. And who is this with the Prophet Muhammad? And he said, be at your rest. This is my wife Safiya. This was the companions who had this feeling. And he said, verily. They said, we didn't think anything bad of you. And he said, verily, shaitan flows in the human being just like blood flows in human beings. So society knows that you are married. So these brothers, I've met brothers who have been married for 4 or 5 years. And they haven't told their families. Because of dire need, I had to get married, I got married, my family doesn't know. I'm keeping it a secret, and when the time is right, I let them know. When you have 5 or 6 kids, what will your parents think of you? What will your parents think of you, old sister? What type of daughter have you raised up? What did they say to Maryam alayhi salam? What did they accuse her of? Because there's no evidence to state that she was married. قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا. If only death came upon me before this. Because of the pains of childbirth. But she couldn't stand the torment that they were saying to her. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. She pointed to the babe. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. And he said, Isa ibn Maryam, إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. I am the servant of Allah. That was the miracle that had to be given to Isa ibn Maryam to take away the misconceptions, the bad things that they were saying to Maryam. The baby had to talk. That was one of the miracles. To let the people know that Maryam alayhi salam did not commit any type of illicit behavior. So likewise in our society, there is concept of hidden marriages. Going to the imam of the masjid, traveling all the way to Birmingham, Manchester, and the imam reads the nikah for 100 or 150 pounds. These imams should be advised. Anybody walks through your door, where cousins, where family, read this nikah. Go back to your own fiqh. Go back to your own understanding. لا نكاح بدون ولي. No marriage without a guardian. Person comes to you to marry, go in the other room, take their number, ring their family and say, so and so is here, they want to perform this nikah. Is it acceptable? Don't turn a blind eye. That is the role of the imam. Many people have even approached myself and said, read my nikah. Are your parents happy? No. So don't talk to me. Are your family content? Don't discuss it with me. But I need to get married, I need to do it. So go and find someone else. I'm not going to take no money and I'm not going to invite you to somebody else to go and do it. But I can go to Manchester and the imam, they will read it. But good luck to that imam on the day of judgment. This is amana. This is trust. This is a trust which has been placed upon your shoulders. And you have to fulfill that trust. To earn a quick buck is what our imams have become famous for. They have a list. £200, Aqdul Nikah. £300, Salatul Janazah. £500, Khatam Yawmul Khamis. The reading of the Khatam on the day of Thursday. And if you catch me outside my hours, it's double money. This is a fact. Let anyone contend with that. This is a fact how these people operate. You take from the wealth which is sufficient for you. As for these extra social services, you should offer them to society. If they give you something of their goodwill, that's good enough. But to be adamant that these are the set rules and the guidelines, and this is the behavior, has become famous in our society. This has become famous in our society, that this is the way. So if the imams are behaving in this manner, how do you expect the masses of people to behave? Of course, the masses of the people are going to go and find anyone and go to this imam and say, read my nikah. Because the imam is relaxed, the people are relaxed. If the imam is stringent, not to mean that you cause hardship, but imam is strict upon the teaching and trying to advise people and tell them good things to do, then the people will become strict in their approach as well to make sure they carry out the correct check. So we find that finally some of the rights that I will mention about the rights of the wife and the rights of the husband. Or finally, I think I won't touch upon that because once again it may be going out of the topic as I have a bad habit to do that. I want to conclude upon a famous hadith. A very famous hadith in Kitab al-Nikah ما رواه Imam Bukhari باب حسن المعاشرة مع الأهل. To be good towards one's family, narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha. Many of the brothers are smiling straight away at this famous hadith. But some of it may be against you, ya ikhwan. 11 women who sat down and decided not to conceal anything about the news of their husbands. And this is before pre-Islam. 11 women sat down and decided to talk about their husbands. That's what women love to do, gossip. Even today in our society, unfortunately, we find that this gossip is widespread about the men in the house, etc. So we find that the first woman, she says, "My husband is a meat of a lean, weak camel, which is kept on the top of a mountain, which is neither easy to climb, nor is the meat fat, so that one might put up with the trouble of fetching it." And the ulama shurah al-hadith, they explain this hadith, they say that the first man is badly behaved, worthless, arrogant and miserly. That he's worthless, that this piece of lean meat just put on top of a mountain doesn't mean no value. That's the meaning of what she wanted to convey to her friends about her husband. The second one said, "I shall not relate, for I fear I may not be able to finish his story of all of his defects and traits. So I'm not going to say anything. I'd rather remain quiet and not say anything." The third one said, "My husband is a tall man. If I describe him and he hears of that, he will divorce me. And if I keep quiet, he will neither divorce me nor treat me as a wife." So if I say something about him, he'll divorce me because he'll feel that she's trying to say something about him. The fourth man has been praised. "He's a moderate person like the night of Tihama, which is neither hot or cold. I am neither afraid of him nor am I discontented with him." The fifth man, he enters kal-fahad, wa-idha kharaj kal-asad. If he enters, he's like a leopard. And if he leaves, he's like a lion. And the sifat of the fahad is, it's shy and harmless and sleepy. So when he comes in the house, he just lies there and he's sleeping most of the time. Wa-idha kharaj asad. But if he goes out, he's like a lion. That's my husband. Number six, he eats too much. And when he drinks, he doesn't leave anything. Doesn't leave nothing. He sleeps, and when he sleeps alone. And does not stretch his hands here and there. Because sometimes a woman wants a man to stretch her hands here and there and just touch her. A good sense of feeling. But when he eats all on his own. He drinks everything. And when he sleeps all on his own. As for the seventh man, he is a wrongdoer or weak and foolish. He might injure your head or your body or do both. That he just gets overtaken by his emotions and he'll harm the woman. As for the eighth person, he is soft to touch like a kal-arnab, like a rabbit. And he smells kal-zarnab, and he smells like a sweet grass. Is my husband. The ninth man, that he is tall, generous man wearing a long strap for carrying his sword. His ashes are abundant and he lives close to the people. And number 10, my husband is Malik. And what is Malik? And what will explain to you who is Malik? That most of the camels, when they come, they are kept at home. When they hear the flute being played, they know they're about to be slaughtered for the guests that are coming. And then finally, the 11th man, Abu Dharr. And what will explain to you who is Abu Dharr? He has made the ornaments have become so loaded on my ears that my earlobes are hanging down because of the gold he has given me. The bangles that he has given me. And he found me in a state of poverty. And he gave me all of the riches that I needed. And his mother has got bags of provision. And the son is well off and generous. And the daughter is fat and well built. And people are jealous of her. And a slave girl does not conceal or reveal the secrets. However, what happened? What did Abu Dharr go and do? That one day he saw a woman sitting there. And the two children were playing with a certain part of the body of the woman. And then he was taken back by that. So he divorced her and he married this other woman. So we find that this is the nature of man. And the Prophet ﷺ stated, "Kuntu laki ka abi zar'in li um zar." I am like Abu Dharr, that I've given you everything that you needed. Everything that you have needed, I've given it to you. Fulfill all of your needs. However, when I was reading this hadith, I began to think that at some point my deficiency in understanding doesn't make sense. Why is the Prophet ﷺ stating that I am like you, like Abu Dharr was? Because he went and he divorced her. And in another narration, Marahu Imam Nasa'i, he mentions these words, "Illa anni la utalliquki," except that I won't divorce you. I've given you everything, but I'm not going to divorce you like Abu Dharr done. He saw another woman and he divorced her. And with that, we bring it to a close. Our brother mentioned talking about viewing a woman, seeing more hands, etc. I did touch upon the walima. If you want me to mention more, I think maybe you're in more need of this. That's why you keep on emphasizing this point. I'm sure I touched upon viewing, what to view, what not to view. If you want to go into more specific details,
then I think, and the Valima as well. I mean, wallahu alam, I mean, maybe my lack of understanding of the topic, but that's what I had to share with the brothers. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.